It's never just about faith. It's how you actually live. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Theological significance of condescension can vary depending on the religious context and interpretation, but what is our view and graciousness? What is condescension? Joining me now is the good pastor, Ken Field Sindola. Good evening to you. Good afternoon to you, Pastor, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you so much. How are you too?
I am well. Thank you very much, Pastor. First and foremost, what exactly is condescension? What is theological and what is condescension? What's theological about condescension?
I am so humbled, and allow me first of all to just indicate that I want to define this in two ways and using two different dictionaries. The first one that I'll use is the Cambridge Dictionary, which defines condescension as a behavior that shows you makes you think you are more important or more intelligent or more special than other people. Now, this is the first one. The second definition that I'll use is where I'll lean more. Is coming from the Oxford English Dictionary. This one defines condescension or to condescend as to stoop voluntarily and graciously, where somebody stoops to reach out voluntarily and graciously. This is how I want to define this word in our discussion for today.
Okay. So when we're talking about condescension, it has two applications, and you've chosen your application. So let's begin first by stating the Seventh-day Adventist view as a church of condescension. Do we as a church have a view? If we do, what is our view of condescension, theological condescension?
Thank you so much. I first of all would love to quote 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 to support the Oxford English Dictionary definition, because here it says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Now, as a Seventh-day Adventists, we take condescension. Many times, actually, we have used this other verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that we are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are God's special possession. And that this is so that we may declare the praises of him who has called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Now, remember the definition that I am leaning on more. We have a God who becomes human in Christ, and who comes to dwell among us. And as he dwells among us, we begin as his children to understand that actually, even when we are a chosen people, it is not only us alone. There are other people that may not be in the Seventh-day Adventist church today, who when they hear and do as he, the one who came to make us understand him, who is Christ, they also will be part of the chosen people, because there's no one he has rejected. He has actually embraced everyone. This is actually also leading us to what is in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 28, where the Bible is saying, So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, as Seventh-day Adventists, we lean on the view that Christ Jesus came to die for all of us, and the door is now open for everyone if we can open this door and allow him in our lives. Therefore, I love this position because it does not segregate anyone. It doesn't push away anyone. Everyone begin to know that they can make it in God's kingdom as long as they choose Jesus as their personal savior. This is what I can say as the position of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
I see. And so, other people, what is the general understanding of condescension?
You know, and I'll be very careful because I don't want to mention denominations. But you know, there are some denominations who have a theology that you can only be saved if you belong to them. You know, others actually, I wanted to quote a certain book, the Catechism. I wanted to quote this one. It says, it had actually an odd phrase on this one, which was actually adjusted. The odd phrase says, outside the church, there is no salvation. But the new phrase says, those who, through no fault of their own, do not know the gospel of Christ or his church, but who nevertheless seek God with a sincere heart and moved by grace, try in their actions to do his will as they know its dictates and their conscience, those two may achieve eternal salvation. Now, you can still see problems here. What we should know is that the door is open for whoever accepts Christ as their personal savior. But other denominations like this one is saying, apart from this church, apart from you being part of us, you can't make it. You can't be saved outside there. Others actually are saying, you know, if you don't follow our teachings, if you don't follow our beliefs, you cannot make it. And you know, if you look closely at these beliefs, you would find even things that are outside the Bible, things that men have crafted and included in the beliefs as part of what should be followed for someone to make it into eternal life, which actually is not what the Bible says. And allow me just to mention that without mentioning the religion, those who say, you know, if you are not part of us, if you are not part of us, you have already chosen eternal doom. If you are not part of us, you have chosen eternal doom. This actually is not the right position. We need to make people understand that the tool they can use to know whether what they are doing is right or wrong is if they believe in what is written in the Word of God, and this is the Bible. And as Adventists, we also believe that somebody can also be helped to understand the Bible better when they read what is also in the spirit of prophecy. So other religions who believe that it is only when you become part of them for you to be saved, that is not the right position.
Okay, all right. I hear you, Pastor. So when we were talking about the IDN, I was also tempted to ask another question to follow up on the issue of the catechism, but I'm not distract you from your path. So talk about the impact of condescension in relationships, Mfundisi.
Actually, this has a very serious impact. You remember I had two definitions. So the first definition that I gave, I defined condescension using the Cambridge Dictionary, which actually says this is behavior that shows you that you are more important than another person. There are people who, because of maybe what they believe, they begin to look down on others and begin to actually think that one cannot be saved, that one cannot make it. They put themselves as more special than others, which actually is a very dangerous thing. The moment a person begins to feel that they are more better, more righteous than another person, that actually begins to show how blind they may be spiritually. Because, you know, the more closer we are to Christ, the more filthy we actually see ourselves to be. We will not even think ourselves better than others. We will even see ourselves that there are many things that we need to work on ourselves than we do others. Do you know that those that see themselves more perfect, even how they treat others changes? Others even stop greeting others. Others even feel that, what can this one tell me? Therefore, you limit the sources of how God can speak to you. I have already seen in some places, I saw a situation where when this preacher stood up to speak, this other person stood up and walked out and said, I cannot listen from this sinner. This sinner cannot speak to me.
Whoa.
You know, when you reach that extent, even in our relationship, that actually begins to distort everything. You also begin to miss the hallmark. So condescension, when taken in the context of the definition in the Cambridge Dictionary, that actually begins to be more harmful than what actually it should be if we take it in the line we took it from the Oxford Dictionary. So when we look at it this way, it also fights what Christ is telling us in the verse that I already quoted, Galatians chapter 3, 26-28,
yeah,
where we are all one in Christ, we become one. I don't need to walk out. If I know maybe the one who has stood up to preach as a sinner, or they've done something that I know, I don't need to stand up. What I need to do is to sit and listen. And after they have finished, I can walk to them and say, you know, you need to practice what you preached. Then to walk out, that actually would actually mean in a very different way and in a negative way.
Indeed, Pastor. All right, my final question, I'll let you go, Pastor. What exactly is the importance of understanding condescension in the correct perspective?
Thank you so much. You know, the correct perspective humbles us. And actually, the correct one is when you have a God who is willing to become like one of us, that he may communicate properly what can help us to be saved. You know, I found, I was reading a story and I found a question. This question was, if you are walking on the road and you found ants trying to cross from this side of the road to the other side of the road on this footpath, and on the side they are headed to, there is a fire, and you know that if they cross on this side, they will be burnt by this fire. In the story, the writer says it would be more better that you who is seeing what is happening on this side, who knows the danger better, you become one like them and explain to them that you know where we are headed to. This is what is there. And if we proceed this way, we may end all dead. Let's take this direction. And this is exactly what Jesus did. He knows the end. And he has actually told us the end in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 to 9. He tells us the end of everything, that there's a fire ahead, and we can only be saved if we appreciate the way condescension is demonstrated by Jesus Christ, where he is willing to lose all and become like one of us to make us be saved. And this way, this is the best way we must understand it.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to let you go now, Pastor. But before we do, please offer a word of prayer for us.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you who became like one of us, so that we can make it in your kingdom. Today, dear Heavenly Father, there are many people out there who have been made to understand your love in many different ways. I want to plead in a special way, Lord, that make us understand your love through what you did by coming to be like one of us, living with us, communicating to us the danger ahead of us, and dying on the cross to save us as your children. Lord, all those that are listening, may they, Lord, be enlisted for your kingdom as we all make decisions to be part of your kingdom. Thank you for your love. Be with the Adventist World Radio. All the workers, bless them abundantly together with my fellow presenter. We give glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor Canfield Sindolo. We really appreciate your ministry. We're looking forward to tomorrow's Daily Focus as we continue along the very same lines. Thank you very much once again. Have a good day there, Pastor.
Thank you. Have a blessed day. You are a blessing.
Amen.
It's never just about faith. It's how you actually live. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.